They perish, they perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. God paid them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
The mission trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4 and 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Lashley, and a pleasant greeting indeed to each and every listener of the Mission Trail broadcast. We hope that you make it a regular habit to hear the message brought to you over this station each week at this same time. It is our sincere desire to honor Christ and preach the truth, which will be a comfort and a blessing to the believer and a warning to the unsaved. The Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Now, in case you don't believe, you positively cannot be saved. For we read again, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, let us go quickly to our text. And should I not finish with what is on my heart, I want to continue the message right on into the weeks ahead. Here it is. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." I invite everyone to stay tuned for the next few moments while I declare to you that God is concerned about the condition of a world in sin. But be reminded of this scripture, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." Ecclesiastes 8:11. We may as well face up to it. The moral and spiritual tide of the world today is at a rather low ebb. Spirituality seems to be declining. Immorality and wickedness is abounding. In other words, we come in contact with some rather strong forces. But on the other hand, listen to how this scripture describes the word of the Lord. I quote, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces?" So that is what we're expecting the word of the Lord to do. It will save the believer and condemn the unjust in the day of judgment. Now look what has happened, is presently happening, and is going to happen to the wicked. First, notice carefully that my text is taken from the first chapter of Romans and verse 18. And my comments will be directed along the remaining verses in this chapter. Verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." If one wants to understand the beauty of the invisible God, there's plenty of evidence in beholding the creation of God, which is clearly seen. Really, folks are without excuse. You see, his invisible perfections are manifested by his visible works and may be apprehended by what he has made. Their immensity shows his omnipotence, and their vast variety, his perfection. That all-powerful energy that was and ever will exist, God has allowed to be displayed before intelligent beings who can make that survey. His works prove his being. The government and support of his works prove it equally well. Creation and providence form a twofold demonstration of God. First, in the perfection of his nature, and second, in the exercise of those perfections. Now, going on to verse 21, it speaks about some people by saying, because that when they knew not God, in other words, they acquired a general knowledge of the unity and perfection of the divine nature, but they glorified him not as God. Now, I am persuaded that all of these folks have not lived in the dark ages. Some of them are living today. Because they do not proclaim him to the people, but shut up his glory and their mysteries, and give the people in exchange a corruptible image made like unto corruptible man. Wherefore, God, in punishment for their sins of thus turning his truth into a lie, is suffering even their mysteries, which they have erected for a school of virtue, to degenerate into an odious sink of vice and immorality. He's giving them up unto all uncleanness and vile affections. And my friends, do you not notice that in the world today and in the teachings of the people of this age? There are those people that would teach you to be free thinkers. In other words, that's what they want to call it. They don't want you to be bound by any former teachings or laws of morality which would restrain you from doing whatever you want to do. But did you know this scripture is in the Bible? It is found in 2 Peter 2:19. Listen. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Another thing to notice about this type of people so steeped in sin is their lack of gratitude. They aren't thankful for the providence of God, but they become vain in their imaginations and their reasonings. This certainly refers to the foolish manner in which even the wisest of their philosophers discourse about the divine nature. Who can read their works without being struck with the vanity of their reasonings, as well as the stupidity of their nonsense when speaking about God? In short, their foolish, darkened minds evidently sought God nowhere but in the place in which he is never to be found. That is the vile, corrupted, and corrupted passions of their own hearts. And they did not discover him there, so they scarcely sought him anywhere else. Friends, be with us on the next broadcast as we look further into this scripture in Romans. And now let us pray. Our gracious Father, we're glad that thou art an all-wise and all-powerful God, separate from sinners and corruption, and yet ever willing to lend a listening ear to those of a humble and contrite heart. Bless each listener of the broadcast, and may the seed sown fall into good and honest hearts, and to thee we will give the praise through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, this poem, The World in Sin. The world in sin is dying, yet Jesus came to save. With outstretched arms he's crying, my life for thee I gave. The ransom price was given, redemption to ensure, that we might enter heaven and be forever pure. The world in sin is sinking, still lower every day. Vain one, art thou not thinking how soon 'twill pass away? Then down to awful torment, O Lord, can it be so? Thy soul at any moment may with reluctance go. The world in sin is careless, and few there are indeed who love the sacred Bible, who will its counsel heed. Their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes are blinded too, their hearts are void of feeling, deceitful and untrue. The world in sin grows harder each day in every clime, inspired with evil ardor, slides down the steeps of time. The masses madly rushing on sin's relentless tide, where demon foes are crushing the souls for whom Christ died. The world in sin is sleeping, Dread soul, destroying spell, like palsy o'er them creeping, to drag them down to hell. Infatuated mortals, lured on by treacherous wrong, will miss yon heaven's portals, and hopeless die ere long. The world, in awful stupor, is dreaming of delight in some millennial future, when wrong will all be right. But sad will be the picture in God's great judgment day, to see these souls with demons forever turned away. The world in sin's dominion refuses Christ who died, whose favor brought salvation, and there's no hope beside. Yet time enough, says Satan, who mocks the wretched doom of sinners near perdition, who have in heaven no room. The world in sin is ruined. Its withering, blighting curse is on the evil masses, and still they're growing worse. Their hearts are vain and trifling, and bent to wicked greed. Conviction they're stifling. God's word they will not heed. The world in sin is sleeping on time's eternal brink, but soon with bitter weeping to torment it will sink. Despite of God's great mercy bestowed on them each day, they'll hear his voice in judgment, "Depart from me for a." Friends, doesn't that stir your heart to do more for God while we have time and opportunity than we have ever done before? Let us, as the people of God, as the saints of his own calling, proclaim his word to the ends of the world. Here's a song, "You Can't Do Wrong and Get By."
There's a God that's standing at heaven's door. He's looking this universe o'er, and he sees each mortal with a searching eye. You can't do wrong and get by. You can't do wrong and get by. No matter how much you may try, nothing hidden can be, everything he does see. You can't do wrong and get by. Out into the darkness you alone may go, and sees for the wicked one's soul. There's an eye that's watching from the throne on high. You can't do wrong and get by. You can't do wrong and get by. No matter how much you may try, nothing hidden can be, everything he does see. You can't do wrong and get by. Yes, he knows your secrets, everything you do. He knows that your life is untrue. You can ne'er deceive him, there's no use to try. You can't do wrong and get by.
This message has been brought your way by the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma. This is Willie Murphy speaking. Until we meet again, may the Lord's richest blessings be with each of you. And I will now say a very cheerful goodbye.
You can.